From Portland. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. Music a little loud.
Yeah, but I was enjoying hearing you yell.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sounded like Rick Taylor.
Yeah. Mariah Carey coming up with another hip music. Here's the thing about that. We were playing some of those air trucks on Friday. I can't even really do that voice anymore. I can only do like a generic bad DJ. I can do this sort of, it's really non-stop hip music, but I can't, but even that's like way too ridiculous. Like, I can't do, the thing about those air checks, I'm going to get sidetracked here, but on Friday, he says, as the audience chuckles, I don't wish to get sidetracked, bada bing. But on Friday, we were playing some of those air checks from earlier on from Tim's radio career, mine to make Scotty J, who will be joining us, by the way, on a daily basis on the show starting next week, I think. I think starting next week, his quote, education is done. And at the broadcasting school, which I'm sure is going to get him a fantastic job any day now. So he'll be
and you'll be the speaker during his graduation here.
Seriously, and he'll be competing with all those kids from whatever Warner Pacific College in the broadcasting program there. Your degree isn't in broadcasting; it's like advertising or something, right?
Yeah.
See, that's a good degree. That's kids follow the example of Sarah Dillon. Get an advertising degree, political science degree, or something. Don't be more Sarah, less Scotty, in every way. Anyway, but to try to make him feel better, Tim and I are playing some air checks from our past, where I was a top 40 DJ, and Tim was a K-Hay and so forth, and the thing that I'll never be able to recapture in all of my impressions of top 40 DJing is that exuberant, irrational, non-ironic sincerity. Cause I meant it, man. It's like when I do it now, when I'm doing a whole lot of, it's poison, they're gonna talk dirty to you on a Tuesday, 5:05. Like it's just ridiculous, cause I can't, you listen to that air check of me being a top 40 DJ, and man, it was in my bones. It was in my soul. I was giving it to the people because, you know, I was being true to the music and stuff. Those days are gone. I could never again, do the DJ voice and be sincere about it, so. We'll play more of those later on the week when Scott is here. All right, so here's what we've got. We got Lisa Goddard from CNN coming up at the bottom of the hour. She's going to talk about the George Bush and his plummeting approval ratings. We've got Don Rickles tickets. I got a pair of tickets, and I got to get these done because we've got a pair every day this week. A pair a day in May, except that it's June. A pair of June in the moon. Anyway, I got a pair of Don Rickles tickets, plus 2 free buffet dinners and Chinook wins. So we're going to give those away maybe this segment. Don't call now. I will tell you when to call. And I will give you your... Here's what we're going to do. Because Rick Emerson cares, I've actually thought up... I'm terrible at what they call contesting. And contesting is basically the mechanism by which you give something away. Which is why you'll notice on this program, even with the Steven Seagal tickets, they'll give me something cool to give away, and what do I always end up doing? Caller 5! Not now. This is something as a demonstration. I will say, caller 5 wins Steven Seagal tickets. And it's because I can never think of anything interesting to do. I can never think of anything that's compelling or creative to give away tickets. But now I have for these. We will give you a... like if I say don't call, then immediately everyone begins calling. It's like those banners on the internet that say do not click. When every line, I said don't call. Hockey pucks. We will give you your choice of contests, actually, when we do this. We will take caller 5 later, not now, and I will give you your choice of 2 contests. You can either play When I Was a Boy, or you can play Who Is That Crazy Celebrity? So there you go. Doesn't that sound exciting?
It does.
It's almost like a real radio show, so we'll do that later on. We'll do the top 5 Zeppelin guitar intros of all time. I got to do that today, because tomorrow we're going to do top 5 Devil songs of all time. And I had all kinds of top 5s I was going to try to do for tomorrow, but I think I'm not going to try to out-hip myself. I should go top 5 devil songs. I was going to do top 5 like backward messages and top 5 records most likely to be burned by a fundamentalist group, but tomorrow top 5 devil songs. That's what we're going to do. And then Carlin will be here for the Oregonian next hour to talk about the Sopranos and so forth. And all these emails. Should I be taking this?
Yeah, if you'd like. It's a suggestion for a question for Lisa Goddard.
All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, you've got to ask Lisa Goddard if Condoleezza Rice and George Bush are having an affair.
I am not.
I just got to hear your reaction to that.
Okay, that's not going to happen. Here's what's not going to happen is me asking somebody from CNN Radio if the President of the United States is having an affair with his Secretary of State.
Why is CNN's reporting raining alien blood?
That really is true. That I'm going to ask her about. I'm going to ask her about her network stooping so low as to report something that, no offense, Clyde Lewis was reporting earlier on this show. I'm not saying Clyde is crazy or that he just makes stuff up or that he's otherwise a bad influence.
He's correct in many instances, though.
Yes, I suppose that's true. No, that's not going to be something I do, but thanks for your input anyway. Okay, there you go. Let me read some of these emails. Rick, look, see, here we go. It's not only are we apparently on the Warner Pacific College thing, we're on the Craigslist. The Craigslist is sort of like the MySpace, but it's for adults, because now everything that happens on the net that's wrong, blamed on Craigslist. Listen to this. This is apparently from Craigslist. Satanism is not a joke. And then many, many, many asterisks. Please read this. I know. And then there's this appears to be a cut and paste. From the Warner College thing. But it does contain, it does contain the God is not a joke, and neither is the devil. Please pass this along to your church groups. I am not a... Here's the giveaway, by the way, because we heard this with the Dixie Chicks. Here is the giveaway that someone is in favor of censorship. What is the phrase included here? I am not in favor of censorship, but I know that God is true, and so is the devil, all caps. With enough public pressure... Maybe they'll think twice. Yes, I encourage public pressure now in every conceivable way.
Signed, Aaron Hoover.
Rick, this is from our good friend Todd the Corpse.
Come on, come on, come on.
He says, do you think that Mahatma Gandhi University works on a passive fail system? Signed, I am deeply, deeply sorry. Rick, did you catch the story or photos about Paul McCartney's wife being in porn? No. No, I did not. Move on without comment. I'm just trying to get some of these right here so we can get some of these other things. Rick, Horns Across the Hawthorne suggestion. You should suggest that all dudes participating in Horns Across the Hawthorne tomorrow wear their most demonic rock and concert shirts, just to add that extra special touch. This actually does beg the question, what are we going to be... Well, we're going to be wearing the station clothing tomorrow, because we've got the brand new AM970 Solid State Radio shirts. That's what we're going to be wearing tomorrow. And we are going to be giving those away as well. We will be having the after party at Dante. So here, people have been asking me all of this. So we are going to be gathering at the Northwest Pedestrian Bridge. There's that little pedestrian ramp. We're going to be gathering the grassy knoll of the northwest side of the pedestrian ramp. Look for the AM 970 tent. Be gathering at 5:30 tomorrow. We will then assemble. We will move up. We will line the bridge at 6:06. Bam! Devil horns up simultaneously across the bridge. Everybody takes the photograph. We are immortalized for all time. And then we retire to Dante's for the after party featuring the pentagram of prizes and all of that. So that's all coming up. So this is, as far as what you're going to wear, if you got something, I would say either black or red. That would be my assessment. If you got something black, wear it. You got something red, wear it. You got some lady, you got the concert shirt, you wear it. You got something that's vintage, you wear it. You got the vintage Ozzy, you wear it. The Slayer, the Metallica, the whatever. That would be my suggestion anyway. So, because Sarah and I were talking about this. See, this is, it is a little bit of a different time. I'm glad to see that evil in rock is coming back a little bit. I was listening to some song the other day. It's one of those, it was like an odd, like a Disturbed, or one of those Ozfest bands. And there was something about the opening, I forget what it was, the opening line of this song literally was something about like Satan gallops behind us on his steed of fire or something. And it was like a record that came out last year, and it was kind of a little, yeah, moment. Because it's been a long, abject absence of Satan in today's rock and roll. Because Sarah, see, because it's like a skip a generation thing, because you never had this happen. You never had... Your generation lacked any kind of satanic iconography. You had nothing.
Well, we had Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, but that isn't... Well, I suppose he counts.
That's about it, though.
I guess. But you didn't have... Like, you didn't have anything taken away and burned for being satanic. That was it was an 80s thing, and then I feel like it's coming back a little bit. But it didn't... Your church... Because you grew up in a Catholic family, but they didn't do any... they didn't have any protests or any record burning or any whatever.
No, no.
Tim, were you, now you, because we got like three different generations here. Yeah. Did, were you, was your school, was your church doing that?
No.
Were they telling you about the evils of Satan?
No. See, they were too busy with little boys.
Let's do the Don Rickles contest now. Huh. Satan is bad. Take off your pants. It's 503-733-2970. Here's what we're going to do. We're take caller number five. Caller number five right now. And we will give you your choice of two contests. You will either be able to play the When I Was a Boy game or Spot That Crazy Celebrity game. It will be your choice. It's 503-733-2970. This is for a pair of tickets to see Don Rickles at Chinook Winds, plus dinner for two next Saturday. It is for next Saturday. So you got to be able to go. Don't be one of those guys. You call up and you win the tickets. And you're like, I cannot. Do you have tickets for Friday instead? Can I exchange these for cash? Don't be that guy. It's a pair of tickets to see Don Rickles, Chinook Winds, next Saturday, plus dinner for two. We'll take caller number five here. 503-733-2970. We're waiting for Sarah to screen this through. Who is this? All right, Jan, can you put whoever the next caller is on hold as well in case Jan eats it? All right. Let's see. Hi, Jan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
All right, Jan, are you ready to compete for a pair of tickets to see Don Rickles at Chinook Winds?
I am.
All right. Are you able to go next Saturday should you win these tickets?
Yes, I am.
All right. You're not gonna win these and they're just going to sit there unused collecting dust?
No.
All right, because that would be sad. All right, Jan, you have your choice. You can either play... Even though you are a female, you can play When I Was a Boy, or you can play Spot That Crazy Celebrity. Which would you rather play?
Spot That Crazy Celebrity.
All right.
That's the better one of the two.
All right. So here's the deal. You're familiar with 20 questions? You ever played 20 questions where you try to narrow it down, where somebody says, I'm thinking of whatever, and in 20 questions or less, you try to figure out the celebrity?
I have.
All right. This is not 20 questions. This is five. You get five questions.
Okay.
I am going to read you an account of celebrity behavior, and I'm not going to tell you where it's from because I don't want people going and reading up on it. So I'm not going to say whether it's from a magazine, whether it's from the web, whether it's, from a gossip column. I'm going to say where. I will read you a true account of celebrity gossip. You may ask five questions to narrow down the celebrity. At the end of this, of the five questions, you must guess the celebrity. All right?
Okay.
All right. I'm going to read you now the gossip column. Sir, do you have the A News or A News Pile? Just some sort of appropriate... I think it's called A News Pile. We'll just go ahead and make some sort of an appropriate music benefit. All right. All right, here we go. I'm going to read you now this account of celebrity gossip. At the end, you may ask five questions. If you correctly identify the celebrity, you will win a pair of tickets to see Don Rickles, plus two free buffet dinners next weekend. Chinook Winds. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I will leave out only the name of the celebrity. Rail thin, frazzled, and frail, blank, exited an L.A. budget department store and was asked by a female fan, quote, how did you lose all that weight? Flying into a foam-spitting rage, the celebrity shrieked, well, it's not the effing Pilates and it's not the effing liposuction. It's called goddamn starvation because I can't afford to buy any effing groceries. End quote. The stunned fan stammered, well, anyway, you look great, and then walked away. Jan, who is this celebrity?
I do not know.
You have five questions.
Okay.
By the way, I want no pressure here, but I want you to know that Sarah already correctly guessed who it was. First guess, Sarah knows who this is.
Okay. Is this someone who has gotten her celebrity just by who she's the daughter of?
No.
Is this celebrity an actress?
Yes. Well, I say yes. I mean, not in the very recent past, but yes.
She has acted.
She counts as an actress.
Does she also sing?
Yes.
Was she married to someone famous?
Yes. You have one question left.
Is she from the Northwest?
Yes.
Is it Courtney Love?
It is. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Jan, you have won yourself a pair of tickets to see Don Rickles at Chinook Winds next Saturday, plus two free buffet dinners.
Hot dog.
All right. Hot dog. Boy, howdy. All right. Hold on. We got to do a cue. We got to do the wacky FM thing. Jan, what station is sending you to see Don Rickles?
970.
Well, all right. Good enough. All right. Yeah, thank you. All right. I'm going to put you on hold. Sarah's going to get your information. Don't go anywhere.
Great.
All right. And don't forget, she got to pick up those tickets at the KUFO building.
Okay.
Yeah, because if we get one more person coming over here, Carol's going to come in and she's going to cut out my throat.
That went very well.
All right. There you go. See? That's me. I came up with that. Look at me. Say I lack contesting ability, you consulting bastards. It's 503-733-2970. Take a break. We'll come back. Lisa Goddard. And look how I'm on time, too. Behold my glory. We'll do this. We're going to come back. We got Lisa Goddard from CNN Radio. Top 5 Zeppelin guitar intros coming up. Later on, Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. And we will talk more about Horns Across the Hawthorn, which is now less than 29 hours away. You stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Rick Emerson Show live from Portland, AM 970, Solid State Radio. It's 503-733-2970. We are now hours, 24, 28 and a half hours. 28 and a half hours away from Horns Across the Hawthorn happening tomorrow. I'm in the morning. Tomorrow, we'll be meeting at the Grassy Knoll just below the Northwest Pedestrian entrance to the Hawthorn Bridge. We will gather there. Now, here's why you want to gather there beforehand. I suppose it's required, but here's the thing. It's because afterward, not afterwards, as the uneducated pronounce it, but afterward. And it's also not across the Hawthorn, by the way. Just like in case you happen to be riding a bus with somebody, hear them saying that. Just give them a good smacking. So tomorrow, we'll be gathering for Horns Across the Hawthorn. Here's the thing. We don't have a name for our street team, and I hate the phrase street team because it's like everybody on earth has it. So we got to come up with a better name for them. But the blah, 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 AM 970 Solid State Radio so-called street team, they will be there, and they'll have these laminates, like backstage passes kind of things. They're going to be signed and numbered. But you need those because that is what's going to let you spin the pentagram of prizes at the after party, which is at Dante's. So we gather at 5:30, 6:06, bam, Horns Across the Hawthorn. We take the fantastic, soon-to-be legendary and famous worldwide picture. Then we assemble at Dante's for the after party. Your laminate gets you a spin on the pentagram of prizes and so forth. And memories to last a lifetime. 503-733-2970. Coming up the rest of this hour, we got the top 5 Zeppelin guitar intros of all time. Ooh, we got to play the Weekend Geek, too. Ooh, Yanni. McRib is back. You missed me making the McRib is back sound, by the way, during the break, when Sarah found some pictures of Heather Mills in a porn shoot. Another way in which CBS Radio is not like your company. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, live from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent and woman of the world, Lisa Goddard. How are you, Lisa?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, my life is better than that of George W. Bush today in almost every conceivable way.
You ask.
Listen to that segue. Do you hear how I do that? I'm not going to ask the questions, all right?
Just ask.
It would be...
People want to know.
All right. Here's the thing. I actually do... Now, Lisa...
Yes.
It's an awkward question. It has nothing to do with you. It is about George W. Bush. But George W. Bush's approval ratings are not enviable, let's say. And there is perhaps a sense that he needs to drastically retool what he is doing.
Mm-hmm.
In the words of Tim Burton, he may need to reimagine his presidency because things are going poorly for him and for the country and for everybody everywhere right now. But, of course, Sarah Dillon, my producer, is not paying any attention to any of that because she is obsessed. And I'm only going to ask you if this is a thing you have if this is a thing you've heard, perhaps...
Like in the rumor mill gossip.
Less credible news organizations talking about it. I'm not asking in any way for you to give credence to this one way or the other. That would be wrong. I'm saying that Sarah Dillon, my producer, is obsessed with this rumor that...
Oh, people are calling about it. They want to know, too.
Obsessed with this rumor, which I'm sure is unfounded, mm-hmm. that there is... There are rumors that that the First Lady, who I'm sure is a charming woman, mm-hmm. That she has that she is no longer residenced at the White House, that she no longer lives there. She has taken her residence elsewhere because of some sort of alleged, and I'm sure completely unfounded allegations, they are of impropriety between George W. Bush and Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice.
I will say to you and to Sarah and to everyone interested in this, which includes some of my own family members for sure, you know, I've heard those rumors a lot, and I talked to some folks at the White House actually about that, or some folks that I know who are journalists at the White House, and they say they've also tried to follow that up, and they say there is nothing credible that they know of to those rumors. But, you know, how they would get that for sure, I can't tell you, but we don't have any evidence that that's true.
I want you to know, but for the record, that I was filled with awkwardness having to ask such an inappropriate and untoward question. But Sarah's a gossip monger. She's a terrible person. No,
she's very businesslike, Rick.
I try to lift this show up out of the gutter, but she drags me right down there to the lowest.
Can we talk about video games for a half an hour now?
Shut up.
Hey.
All right.
I've been timing that, though, how long it took you to get out one question. That could be a record for you.
It made me awkward. I'm still feeling awkward. This is like when I was in the lunchroom as a kid and I was trying to talk to a cheerleader and there was just nothing. I couldn't do it. It's a bad week for Bush anyway because he's done this thing that he always does. Whenever he's in trouble, and as we were noting earlier, war's going badly, the economy's going badly, can't get anybody health insurance, can't get anybody a job, lost the faith and trust of the international community, his base is abandoning him in droves, the midterms are going to be a slaughter for his party at the ballot box, so he's done everything that he is expected to do, which is to run back to the gay issue. And so he's spending his valuable time, could be fixing the country. And if I sound like I've abandoned my unpartisan stance, I have.
Yes.
He's abandoned any hope of actually fixing anything or doing anything proactively, and it's just become the flog the gays week again. But it doesn't seem like it's even going to work this time because his base has already defected in such huge numbers.
Yeah, you know, I think they're really hip to what's going on. I talked to one man, a tourist from Texas today, who said, yes, I do think that homosexuality is wrong. You know, he quoted some biblical passages to me.
Right.
And I do think that we should define marriage in the Constitution, but I don't think that any of those senators or the president are doing this because they really care. I think this is politics, and I'm not impressed. And that was their base right there. That is your conservative man from Texas, not impressed with what they were doing. I think you're right. I don't think this is going to get them very far. It might get the people that I think they want and need the most is the folks who pound the pavement for them, the folks who make the phone calls and who donate the money. And they're hoping that that core group is activated by this. But even that group, I'm not sure that they really are going to see much in this, because the truth is, this whole debate, the president's speech and his remarks over the weekend, are not going to get anywhere. They're really, the Senate will have a vote. Maybe a majority of them will vote for a constitutional amendment.
It'll never pass.
Not be enough.
No.
67 votes. They might get more than 50, but they need 67. They won't get close.
And I think, just for, and again, I'm not a learned man, but it does seem from my layman's view over here, that my perception of it is that I mean, it's not that the base isn't appealed to by this kind of thing. This is the sort of thing that they presumably want. But I think by the same token, I think that the Republican base, they sort of feel like they've just been given a lot of lip service. And I think
that's right. That's exactly what this man was saying, that he was not impressed. Now, the real danger for Republicans is that these folks just won't show up. They don't think these guys would ever vote for Democrats, but these are the folks that put them in power, they believe. And it looks like that's exactly what happened in the last presidential election and going back to 1994. Well, and if these guys don't show up, they will be in trouble.
And that's it. And see, this is the double-edged sword of the Karl Rove of his philosophy and this sort of Lee Atwater-esque way in which he runs all these campaigns, in that all of the tactics that the Republicans use to drive up their own members' turnouts also have this equal and opposite effect of just driving Democrats and progressives and independents just absolutely bonkers. And so,
That's right.
And so you have to increase Republican turnout to counteract the fact that you're just the people on the other side of the aisle are just going mental over this. And so if the Republicans don't turn out, the GOP's hosed. I mean, they're cooked.
That's right. And they've got another problem, too, which is with the independents and a lot of Republicans as well, who see this as the do-nothing Congress. They see this as sort of a do-nothing president right now who just can't get anything passed. And talking about an issue that they know is going nowhere, I think the Democrats are really beating a strong drum and saying, why aren't we talking about Iraq? Why aren't we finishing the immigration debate? Why is it that we're spending 3 days on gay marriage when we know it's not, we're not going to do anything?
Well, and when the Republicans know it's not going anywhere, I'm sure that most of the Republican people I know would probably rather spend this time trying to figure out how to fix the deficit, which is spiraling out of control. So
I took the words right out of my mouth. I think that is the issue that Democrats and Republicans need to get on, and whoever owns that issue could go a long way in November, but both of them haven't really made any distance on it.
Hey, do people feel like this Al Gore film is a way for him to pave a road to a 2008 run?
You know, this is my take on that right now, is I think the media kind of wants to keep him around, and they like the hubbub and the buzz about Al Gore, but the truth is, behind the scenes, he is keeping that door open, but he's not really pushing it open. It doesn't seem like he is actively trying to run for president again, as much as the media seems to want to keep him around.
I plead guilty. I absolutely admit to being part of that. All right, Lisa Goddard, enjoy the rest of your day. We will talk to you soon, my friend.
Great.
All right, CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard on the Hill there. There you go. All right. See, I didn't think that she'd even heard about it.
I just did some internet research, and there are a bunch of rumors on the internet.
Now, I don't mean any disrespect to Clyde, but I'm saying that here's the thing about Clyde. And then we'll go to Tim Riley here. But here's the thing.
You get to take a two-hour ride with him all the way to the coast pretty soon.
Lucky me! No, I don't mean that with disrespect. I mean, Clyde is... You know, I love Clyde.
You love my
I love Clyde. I really do. But Clyde is... Clyde is just like this. Clyde is like this old school, like a pan full of popcorn on the stove that you can barely keep the lid on. Sometimes, you know what I mean? It's like it's always on the edge of just completely exploding and going out of control and just becoming nutty. And so, but I mean, I love Clyde, I really do. But the same thing that makes Clyde great, just Clyde can be sort of overwhelming sometimes because you never know what he's just completely up in the night about and what has some grain of truth to it. And Clyde would take all of this as a compliment, by the way, and I say that Clyde would make a fantastic propaganda minister. Really, you put Clyde, you get him over to Iraq, Iran, you put him in charge of some small third world country and have Clyde be the guy with the ribbons who's in there. There are no tanks coming through this city. Like, he would totally make it work because there's a weird grain of truth to all of this insanity that he spins. Clyde is sort of like the National Enquirer in that way, in that it is a mistake to just completely discount and dismiss Clyde when he says this kind of stuff. Because he'll talk about, well, whatever, you know, they found a face on the moon, and they found, you know, Jesus in my corn pops, or whatever it is. And you're sort of like, yeah, Clyde, whatever. Yeah. And then he says this thing about Condi and Bush, and bam, Lisa Goddard is you know, talking about it. So
she might be a listener.
It's like Inquirer in that Bruno Mali shoes, just when you think that they're talking about it. It's like he's right there. So... It is. Imagine being somebody from CNN, though, and having to ask the White House whether George W. Bush is putting it to Condi Rice.
Helen Thomas would.
That's got to be totally and be ignored.
Yeah.
That's got to be fun and intimidating. You know what I mean? Because you end up in a plastic bag somewhere. Ladies and gentlemen, at the City Desk, it's your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting our top story. Snake on a plane. Monty Coles was 3,000 feet in the air when he discovered a stowaway peeking at him from the plane's instrument panel. A 4.5-foot-long snake. Coles was taking a leisurely flight over the West Virginia countryside in his Piper Cherokee and was preparing to land in Ohio when the snake revealed itself. Nothing in any of the manuals ever described anything like this, said the 62-year-old pilot. But advice given 25 years earlier from a flight instructor sprang to mind. No matter what happens, fly the plane. Coles attempted to swat the snake, but it fell to the pilot's feet. Then
darted to the other side of the cockpit.
Everybody out there right now, just insert your own Raiders of the Lost Ark reference here.
While maintaining control of the single-engine plane with one hand, Coles grabbed the reptile behind its head with the other. There was no way I was letting this thing go.
It sounds like it was...
coiled around my arm, and its tail grabbed onto the lever on the floor and started pulling. They came back and asked what the problem was. On the radio, I told them I had a handful of snake and my other handful of plane. They clamored to come in. After a smooth landing, Coles posed for pictures of the snake, then let it loose. That snake resides in Ohio now, said he.
Sounds like it was the flight of his life. Yeah! Yeah! No!
Right. Time now for a not single, but double Darwin watch.
Here's your Darwin watch for whatever this is. Monday.
I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
This really is the second one, because that Florida thing earlier with the balloon and the idiot college student, that really is a Darwin watch, too.
I even have a better one after.
My heart just stopped. Ah, there it goes.
Okay, we have two today. The first one comes to us from Kiev.
Oh, this is a great story. I got this sent to me, this one is from... This particular version was from Daniel, I think his name was. I got 50 people sent me this story this morning. It's fantastic.
A man shouting that God would keep him safe was mauled to death by a lioness at a Kiev zoo as she crept into the animal's enclosure.
Yeah.
The man shouted, God will save me if he exists, lowered himself by rope into the enclosure, took his shoes off, and went up to the lions. The lioness went straight for him, knocked him down, and severed his carotid artery.
His carotid artery. There you go.
The incident Sunday evening when the zoo was packed with visitors was the first of its kind at the attraction. They're hoping to have it more often. Lions and tigers are kept in an island paradise surrounded by thick concrete blocks.
Unless your name is... Wait, speaking of Danny, isn't Daniel the guy in the Bible that laid down with the lions?
I don't remember the Bible at all.
Nothing. I scrubbed it right out of my brain. No, because this guy Daniel emailed me the story, but in the Old Testament, was it not Daniel that they threw into the lion's den?
I guess so.
And then the lions were tame because the angel of God came to... Am I the only one that remembers anything from catechism?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Well, fine, whatever. Well, as far as you know, it's true. It's probably in the Bible somewhere. The Bible's full of people being tossed into something, and then they should be dead, but then not. And because they wouldn't pray to the golden statue of Nebuchadnezzar. And, all right, let's move on.
Here's the second story. This comes to us from Salt Lake, Utah.
Oh, Dante.
A man is accused of not paying for his Pop-Tarts, and apparently he had a problem getaway. First, the clerk at the convenience store ripped the man's shirt off as they struggled, which he confronted him for pocketing the Pop-Tarts without paying. Then the man punched the clerk in the stomach and made it to the door, and he was hit with a pickup truck in the parking lot. Police said he got up and kept running into the path of a minivan while he was crossing the street. He was hit once again. He got up and didn't make it far. It knocks him to the ground. He gets up and continues to run, but responding police officers cut up a short distance later, and he was taken into custody. The man suffered only minor injuries and refused medical treatment. George King, who was 20, is booked for investigation of robbery, and the Pop-Tarts are just fine.
That's fantastic. Excellent. There you go, kids. There's your Darwin watch for Monday on the radio.
Don't, don't.
Another one bites the dust.
Zing.
Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust.
Hey. Hell. Okay, this is Daniel in the lion's den. This is Daniel who interpreted the dreams of... I had it. Now it's gone. It was Daniel, and he was a dream interpreter for the king. And Daniel was the one who interpreted the 7 fatted calves and the 7 slender calves to mean that there would be 7 years of feast and then 7 years of famine. He then became the king and had the husband of Bathsheba killed.
Who on earth was
sons of bitches? We all went to get this 30 years of Catholic school in this room. All right,
yeah,
fine.
But we didn't really focus on the Bible so much.
I focused on daydreaming.
All right.
Who on earth would think that story would be interesting, and why write it in the first place?
I'm sorry. I was just trying to impart a little knowledge that...
You're just trying to brag.
I wasn't. I was trying to balance out just the endless discussion of George Bush having sex with Condoleezza Rice, which is an image I don't need in my head. That and the fact that we're talking about pledging our undying devotion to the Dark Lord tomorrow. I thought maybe a little counterprogue, a little yin for the yang. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, the couple didn't make it to the altar before police made them pull apart. Allie Quigley and Marnie Hurst, both of Boulder, Colorado, were to be married Saturday night at the posh Little Nell Hotel. Instead, they got into a fight the night before and police arrested them because both allegedly threw punches beating each other up. The wedding had to be called off because their $250 bond conditions require them to stay away from each other.
Yeah, that's a happy couple.
It took police 3 hours to sort out the incident. The investigation began after police received a 911 call reporting one woman yelling at another. Police demanded Hurst had been shouting at the groom's sister, according to police reports, and nobody got along at all.
All right.
Oh, guess whose birthday it is today?
I don't know.
Well, it was Hollywood and the Planet Hollywood reunion at a 60th birthday celebration for Sylvester Stallone. The Rocky and Rambo star was joined by fellow Planet Hollywood founders Bruce Willis and California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger for the bash.
Does Planet Hollywood even exist anymore? Boy, that's the worst restaurant ever.
Here's another soon-to-be-open Planet Hollywood resort and casino in Denver.
Who wants more Planet? In where?
Denver. They haven't heard about it yet. Denver.
I guess in Denver there's a finite number of things to do. You know, go sit and watch the new airport run. Is there anybody on Earth that wants to go to a Planet? Who goes to Planet Hollywood anymore? Even the dumb people have already been there and they realize it's worst nachos I've ever had in my life, by the way. I went to Planet Hollywood. And it was actually not in Hollywood, but it was in L.A. somewhere. It was blah, 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 blah. And I went there. The nachos were like $11. They were terrible.
Yeah.
There's no terrible. Nachos are the benchmark by which you can judge a place. You know, if there's nachos on the menu, those, they're a bellwether. They're the canary in the coal mine in terms of restaurants. There wasn't even anything good there in terms of movie memorabilia.
Other celebrities going to Denver included? Kelly Preston, John Travolta, David Spade, and James Caan.
Boy, it's just a massive A-list there. Mm-hmm. How old is Sylvester Stallone?
60.
No. Really?
He is writing and directing Rocky Balboa, the sixth Rocky film, slated to release December 22nd.
Boy, no, I want that to be good. I want it to be...
He is scheduled to play Vietnam vet John Rambo in Rambo...
No!
Nine?
No, no, really?
Year, yeah.
There's already been... Hadn't there already been a Rambo 4?
I believe so.
There's been Rambo... There was First Blood, which... See, this is the... man, Sylvester Stallone, he's a guy I can go on and on and about forever, and I will not now. Because Sarah is the canary in the coal mine. Sonara, there you go. If you need some hippie, trippy name for your daughter, there you go. No, Sarah is the canary in the coal mine there in terms of, like, how long I can sit and ramble about something that only me and, like, three dudes and only me and Nate care about. But I can go on and on about Sylvester Stallone because the Sylvester Stallone's a fantastic actor. He never gets the credit he deserves. He's a little bit like John Wayne in that regard. He did something so well, he was just never able to do anything else to get out of that. But, you know, First Blood, which is the first Rambo film. First Blood is a fantastic movie. I mean, hands down. I don't care whatever you think about it, you visualize it, it's a great film. And probably not, if you've never seen it, it's not the kind of film you think it is. It's not like an action war film. Rambo 2 and Rambo 3 were like that, but First Blood is a great film. Same thing with Rocky. You finally saw Rocky, right?
Yeah, I haven't seen Rambo, but I have seen Rocky.
You know the greatness of Rocky.
Rocky is very good.
Rocky is a great film. Even Rocky 2 is not so bad. It has its moments. And, of course, it just kind of descended into being crap. But, the trailers for Rocky Balboa look so good. They give me chills. Just thinking about it, they give me chills. They're fantastic. I just know the movie's going to be terrible, though. It's one of those things where you hope against hope. The thing about Rocky Balboa, which is the sixth... I say that with S-I-X-T-H, the sixth Rocky film, is that Rocky Balboa, the film, is like the story of Rocky himself, in that you're desperately hoping against hope that he pulls it off, and you know that, like, it's not going to be all that great. You know, the best he can do is probably decent. The best he can do is for the film to not flat-out suck, which is depressing. So, Rick, do you think when W and Secretary of State Rice have sex, she makes him use a condi? I'm sorry, let's say, thank you. I'm Dan, the P1 in Portland. Let's see. What else do we have here? We've got this. This is from Todd. The corpse.
Come on. Come on.
He says, Rick, it was Daniel in the lion's den. I am proud that you remember. There is still good in you, says Todd. Let's see. I'm just going to read a couple of these emails. Then we should break. We'll come back into the top five. See how I'm not getting behind? See how I'm all over today?
You're doing very well.
Turned over a new leaf. It's brand new Rick, baby. Let's see. I'm going to be wearing a Mexican wrestling mask tomorrow, just so you know. And don't worry. Oh, this is from Jesse. I will not be bringing my placenta. Rick, I want to thank you for the Starbucks song. I've had it stuck in my head for over a week. Thanks. Thanks so much. I really appreciate that. Doesn't matter where I am or what I'm doing. There it is. Stuck in my head.
We built this Starbucks.
Thank you.
We
went to Starbucks yesterday. I couldn't get this out of my head either.
Were you living the Green Apron book or whatever the hell it is?
Yes, yeah. It was.
Rick, I find it interesting that they allow Clyde to be completely drunk and crazy at work while helping college students. Here's to the future of the younger generations. What else do we have here? Rick, I have to admit that Condi Rice is hot. No, she really is. She really is hot. You know it's true.
I'm just distracted by her giant teeth.
And the huge gap.
Yeah.
She's got that big Letterman gap.
I don't think she's pretty.
I think she got a certain something. She may not be. Did you ever see Match Point?
No.
Oh, you got to see that. It's a great film. But Scarlett Johansson's character has a great. She has a great moment, actually, where the guy, what's his name, is saying, you know, like, well, you're very beautiful. And she corrects him. She says, I'm not beautiful. I'm sexy. There's a difference. She said, my sister's beautiful. I'm sexy. Condi Rice is sexy. She's. Here we go.
Well,
wait.
She's a pretty pop.
Yeah. She may not be conventionally attractive, but there is, and I don't think I'm alone in this. There's a little something about her. I don't know what it is.
Well, that's what I was going to say. She is really powerful. I mean, yeah, maybe her power makes her attractive.
Maybe that's
you.
What it is. She does have this kind of, Lord of the Sith thing going. She just, you know, she's striding into a room. You can totally see her doing it.
Well, she never wears flat shoes.
No, and she has those huge Hellcats in high heels, those Russ Meyer boots that she's always wearing. Mm-hmm. You can totally see her with like a cat of nine tails. Just like, but I will guarantee you this, and please, 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 for the love of Jesus, on this week of 666, for the love of Jesus of Nazareth, he who has washed me of my sins, please do not send me any of this. But I will guarantee you that there's Condi porn out there. I mean, like the written kind, like the text, like that Star Trek porn. I'll guarantee you that there are guys on
Wait,
the net.
What?
Condi, like Condi Rice porn, like porn stories, like, you know, homemade, written.
Stories she wrote?
Not that she wrote. Yes, working her way through college.
In?
No, because, you know, there's all that fan fiction about, like, and then Kirk, you know, took Spock lovingly in his arms. And.
No, I did not know
oh,
that.
Oh, please, you totally knew
no,
that
I
existed.
Didn't.
Does it surprise you? There's a whole genre.
No, not really.
How could you, you've spent time in the internet, how could you not have just accidentally seen some of it?
Stumbled upon, no.
Star Trek porn, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, like your virgin eyes don't know anything about Star Trek porn.
Is
there an abundance of it to be found?
There is. Oh. Like, you have never looked up Wesley Crusher stories on the internet.
No, I've never looked up Wesley Crusher stories. The only thing I ever looked up of his is
Would you like some?
No.
Okay. No. The only thing you looked up of his was what?
Was when he was selling thong underwear on his website. I just had to make sure that was for real because someone had said that it was.
Urban legend.
The pictures of his face on it. Oh, no.
No, it's there. Clyde Lewis sells it, too. I swear to God.
Underwear
with
Clyde Lewis's picture on it?
You can get a Clyde Lewis G-string. I swear to Christ, he sells it. Good times. Sexy.
I guess that's for the wedding night.
Yeah, but she eats ground zero.
Oh, we lost that clip, too.
It should totally be musical. Like one of those Christmas cards that you open. You know, it's saying it's I'm Clyde Lewis. Just all. Come on, that's funny.
It is. It's amusing. It's thought-provoking.
Whatever. Anyway, this email says, I have to admit that Condi Rice is hot. She's on my top five list. Oh, this is this guy has a top five women who are oddly hot. He says, Condi Rice is on my top five right up there with Vicki Phillips, the PDX school superintendent. Whatever. He said, I like women who snarl. Can I interest you in a Barry Manilow-esque looking statue of Vera Katz, sir? All right, we should break.
I'm going to ride my bike by that today.
Really?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I want to check it out.
We'll take a break.
I'll take a picture.
And take a break here. Please do that. We built this Starbucks. Let's take this out. We'll come back. We got the top five Zeppelin guitar riffs of all time. Peter Carlin talking about Sopranos. Horns Across the Hawthorn is now 28 hours away. Tomorrow. 5:30 tomorrow, we gather by the grassy knoll, the northwest pedestrian entrance to the Hawthorne Bridge. Picture at 6:06. After party with the pentagram of prizes at the Dante's following that. Don't go anywhere. Back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Say you won't slow down or rest at this place. Say you don't know how we grew to this kind of place. Knee deep in the mocha, making coffee right.